Leaders. You're listening to Leaders.com.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa. وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لهم قلوب لا يفقهون بها ولهم أعين لا يبصرون بها ولهم آذان لا يسمعون بها أولئك كالأنعام بل هم أضل أولئك هم الغافلون صدق الله العظيم سبحان ربك رب العزة أما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم Honorable brothers in Islam, mothers and sisters listening at home, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His glorious speech, Surah A'raf has mentioned, وَلَقَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمَ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنسِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned that there are so many from amongst the jinns and from amongst human beings that are destined for Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. There are so many from amongst the jinns and ins, human beings, dharana, that are destined for hellfire Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. And so who are these people that the Quran mentions that they will be flung into the fire of Jahannam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes them and Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبُ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا Allah has given them hearts, قلوب, yet they don't accept the truth. The power of comprehension is not there. They cannot accept the truth. Allah has given them this organ, a very powerful organ, and that is your heart. Your heart is the most powerful organ. Your intellect and your brain will only accept that which the heart accepts. If the heart gives a signal to the mind, yes, then the brain will say yes. If the heart says no, the brain will say no. The hands have to obey the heart. When the heart gives the order, yes, you can touch, the hands move. So this qalb that is inside us, the heart on the left side, just where the rib cage is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it protection, it's on this side, is a very powerful organ. And Allah says, I've given them the heart, but they are not willing to accept the truth. وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنْ And I have given them eyes, but yet they can't see. وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ I have given them ears, but they can't hear. Now in the Islamic terminology, true blindness and the meaning of that person who is blind is not the one who can't see with his eyes. In Islam and in the Islamic terminology, blind is that person who does not accept the truth, he is blind. Deaf is that person who does not listen to the truth. He is really deaf. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ, they are like animals. But then Allah says, no, no. بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ, even far more astray than the animals. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. And Allah is saying, because they are entirely heedless. Entirely heedless. They live in ghaflat. They wake up with ghaflat. They walk with ghaflat. Entirely heedless. They really don't care. And this is the attitude of that person who is far away from his deen, who does not connect to Allah, who does not connect to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the attitude of the kuffar, my respected brothers, if you see. They have education, they have everything, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still saying they haven't got a heart. Allah is saying that they are still blind. They can see, they know how to drive a car. They can walk. They can read a book. They can see everything, but Allah is saying, no, they are blind. They are deaf. Why? They have not accepted the message that comes from Anbiya, from the prophets, Anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. So this disability is inside them. Now why and how does a person become blind? This blindness of the heart and deaf, the deafness of the ears and the blindness of the eyes also. How does this come into a person very slowly? Let me give you an example, my respected brothers. Aapne apne ghar mein carpet dekhi hogi, mashallah. It's so cold in this country that, you know, we have carpets in the UK. And when somebody wants to wash the carpet and vacuum the carpet and you bring that right machine for it, then you put clean water in that machine to wash the carpet. And then as you are cleaning and vacuuming and washing the carpet, you see that clean water becoming very, very dirty. And you start thinking, yaar, is this the carpet that I was doing sajda on? Is this the carpet that I was walking on? Is this the carpet that I thought was really clean? And then when you start cleaning the carpet and washing the carpet, and then you see that, oh ho, this carpet is so dirty that the clean water has become filthy, impure. It's very dirty. It's all black now. Subhanallah. And the same also when it comes to your beautiful house. Sometimes we feel that as men folks, we are the only people working hard. But in reality, a woman also who does her job. There are some women who don't do their jobs. I'm talking about a woman who is responsible. A responsible woman, a housewife, that is a full-time job. She needs to clean the house. She needs to arrange everything in the house properly. She has to make sure that the bathroom, the toilets are clean, mashallah. A lot of the times when we go home and we think, oh, everything is done, there's a lot of effort. There's a lot of hoovering, dusting that the women folks have to do to maintain and to look after this house, to make it look very, very beautiful. So 24 hours she is there, mashallah, polishing this, cleaning this, making sure everything is very, very clean. And the maintenance of the house is very important, so that every time you come to the house, your house is clean, mashallah. And you feel happy and it's a comfortable zone for you. Why? Because there's a lot of effort that is put into this. All the cutleries and everything has to be washed. Subhanallah. Choti choti cheeze, dust wahan jama ho jaati hai. It has to be, mashallah, wiped out and everything is done. Now imagine you have a house and for 6, 7, 8, 9 months you are doing nothing. No hoovering, No washing, no cleaning, no dusting, no nothing. The toilet is just like that. The kitchen is like that. And then slowly what happens, that beautiful house becomes very, very filthy. And sometimes filth that is accumulated, it settles in such a way that it forms a very strong layer and it is very, very hard. Sometimes after a long period of time when you have not maintained the order of cleaning, you see it that even after struggling you can't remove that dirt, because that filth that is there now, it is attached to that object, whatever. It's very difficult even to remove it. Why? You have not been doing your job. You didn't clean the house. The same thing, my respected brothers and elders, with the heart. One is your physical heart. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with the physical heart is connected to your physical body. And then where your physical heart is, that is where your spiritual heart is. But that is the heart of your ruh. That is the heart of your soul. Can you see your ruh? You can't see it. So you can't see the organs of your ruh. You can't see your heart that is connected to your ruh. Like how the physical body needs to be maintained, the same way the spiritual heart needs to be cleansed and purified. Otherwise a thick layer of filth and dirt slowly forms this body that is covering. And then what happens? That there is, spiritually you are clogged and you can't understand anything. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ قُلُوب. They have hearts. But the hearts are not working. لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا. It's clogged. Nothing is going in the heart. Because more important than your physical heart, which is just pumping, is the heart of your ruh. And that is not allowing it for that person to accept the truth. And now, because the heart is damaged, sometimes you'll find that the doctors say that, you know, the heart is so weak that we can't operate on this person. He's too weak, he's too fragile. He won't be able to cope. He hasn't got that strength. Khatam. The physical heart is also weak. And so this spiritual heart becomes very, very weak because of kufr. Because of kufr. And then with kufr comes with a lot of sins. So every time you commit a sin, there is this dark layer that engulfs the spiritual heart. And it is a covering there, covering there, covering there, covering there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, it is our duty to chip out and scrape out that covering so that our spiritual ruh remains intact. Very important. We have to do this. And this is very beautifully explained actually in the hadith of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, imagine you have a house, a very beautiful house. And in front of your house there is this beautiful river that is flowing with clean water. MashaAllah, aap Switzerland, aapne dekha hoga Switzerland, bahut khubsurat jagah hai. MashaAllah, very beautiful where you have rivers and many other countries in the world, MashaAllah, not just that. And then you have a house located and beautiful river, stream in front of your house. And you swim in that water 5 times a day. How many times? Bukhari Sharif ki riwayat. Look at the examples, very simple examples Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving. That you are swimming in that river 5 times a day. Then he asks a question that, oh my Sahaba, now tell me, if he is swimming and cleaning his body in that river and taking ghusl 5 times a day in the river, will there be any impurity on his body? Will there be? No. 5 times a day, right? Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave this example and he said, that is why we pray 5 times a day. A lot of people ask you, why do you pray? Why do you worship? Why do you have to wake up for Fajr? Why do you pray Zohar, Asr, Maghrib? Because it is spiritual purifier. What is it? Your namaz is a scraper that is scraping all the filth that is collected upon the spiritual heart. So every time you pray your namaz, your nawafil, it is chipping, it is scraping, you are getting pure, you are getting pure, you are getting pure, you are getting clean, clean. That is why Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, Allah out of His infinite mercy has made 5 times a day namaz farz upon you. Not so it benefits Allah. They are angels already worshipping Allah. It's not that Allah is looking for you to do sajda to me. And al-iyadhu billah, somehow, you know, that is of benefit to our Creator. No, no, no. The worship that we do is only a benefit to us so that it allows us to enter Jannah. The reason why we pray namaz is a spiritual purifier. This man asked me, why don't Muslims eat pork? What is it? Why don't Muslims eat pork? What's the reason? Suvar ka gosht kyun nahi khate Musalman? So I said to him that, you see, what is the job of a vacuum machine, a Hoover? What does it do? It eats all the dirt. Allah has created this animal, and this animal is the vacuum for this earth to eat the dirt and filth of this dunya. This animal, the pig, it is the creation of Allah. We don't harm it. And in its nature, how has Allah created its stomach and all that? That it can very easily eat all the filth of this dunya. And the stomach is an incinerator. It burns everything very quickly. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not allow us to eat something that is filthy. Allah says, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kulu minat tayyibati ma razaqnakum washkuru lillah in kuntum iyyahu ta'budun. Eat that which is tayyib, clean. So we eat things that are clean. Islam is a beautiful religion that is all about logic. So we pray 5 times a day because the dirt, the spiritual impurity that is settled on the heart perhaps, it needs something to be removing it, and it is your salah, it is your Quran, it is your ibadat, it is your good deeds, that slowly it is removing it. So a lot of the times you will see, that is why mashallah, when you go for Hajj, the cleansing and the ghusl that is given to a haji, the ghusl, this ghusl is the ghusl of of sins. What is it? This ghusl of Hajj for 5 days. 5 days of ghusl. This ghusl is the ghusl of sins. So it is said that when he completes his Hajj, Allah has deleted all his sins. Like how a child is born fresh, subhanallah, on his birthday, and he has got no sins at all. That is how like that haji is. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has wiped out all of his sins. So there are certain a'mal and actions in Islam that are there to spiritually clean you, cleanse you. And that is why alhamdulillah to a Muslim, when you tell him that this is what Allah is saying, he will not argue with you. When you tell him that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said this, he will not argue. Why? Because Allah has given him a clean heart. Allah has given him a clean heart. But when your heart is clogged, then the Quran says, لَهُمْ قُلُوب لَا يَفْكَهُونَ بِهَا. He wants to argue with you. No. He will not want to accept the truth. He will not want to hear the truth. Ajeeb, subhanallah. There was a teacher who asked a very important question to his students, and something for us to ponder about. And he said to his students that, what do you want to become after you have qualified? What is your dream? What are your intentions? What do you want to be in life? So the youth, the children that were there, they gave different answers. So some of them said that doctors, Muslim ko to doctor hi banna hota hai. So mashallah. So some of them said doctor, some of them said a businessman, some of them said we want to become a lawyer, some of them said that, you know, we want to become so and so, and everything, different professions were mentioned. So the teacher was listening, mashallah, all of you want to become, some of the girls said we want to become a nurse and this and that. Alhamdulillah. Some said that they want to become lawyers, judge. But there was one child that gave an outstanding answer. One student gave a brilliant answer to the question that what do I want to become? So the teacher asked him, my son, what do you want to become? So he looked at the teacher and he said, I want to become a Sahabi. What did he say? Are you listening, brothers? I want to become a Sahabi. Now, what subjects do I need to become a Sahabi? You know, if you want to become a doctor, you know the subjects you have to take, your A-levels. If you want to become an accountant, you know what subjects to take. You want to become a lawyer, a scientist, you know what subjects to take. Now, what subjects do I need because I want to become a Sahabi? What a beautiful answer given by this young child, that I want to become a Sahabi. Now, obviously, this child could never become a Sahabi, because the definition of a Sahabi is someone, number one, was born in the era and the time of Nabi-e Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he is a man who brings iman upon Khatamun Nabiyyin. So he is a Sahabi. So no one can become a Sahabi. However, this child was trying to explain that if I was to dream of anything, I was to dream to be a Sahabi and to serve my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And understanding that the best people are not those that I see with my eyes, the best people are those that my Allah says are the best, that my Nabi has said are the best. And my hero, the real heroes, are the companions for me, because they were truthful people. They were people who loved Allah. They were people who loved Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were people who were sincere with Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And most importantly, they understood they were connected to the hereafter than this dunya. They were connected to the hereafter than this dunya. That is why I want to be like a Sahabi. Subhanallah al-Azim. Now, what molded that child towards thinking like that? How many of our children think like that today? Today we know what is trending. That we know. Today we know about music. Today we know about films. Today we know about everything of this dunya, the trash, really, it is the trash. We know everything what a fasiq and a fajir and really people who have no sense, whatever they are doing in this world. We watch everything, we do everything, we know everything of this dunya. We take the wrong people as our heroes. But you ask anyone about Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq. How many people know the history of Hazrat Abu Bakr? How many people know the history of Hazrat Umar? How many people know about Hazrat Uthman? How many people know about Hazrat Ali? Oh, Hazrat Ali, what a man! Kaun tha Hazrat Ali ki tarah? Ana madinatul ilm wa aliyun babuha. I am the city of knowledge and Ali is the door. Imagine who he is. Hazrat Hassan, Hussein, the Ahl Bayt. Hazrat Amir Muawiyah. And all of these great, great people. Sultan Salahuddin Ayyubi. And the heroes of Islam, what they did. Subhanallah. Who are our heroes? What are we doing today? Where is our mind? What are we thinking about? What are we watching? What is in the heart? And whatever is in your pocket, that is what will come out. Whatever is in your pocket, that is what will come out. Your heart is a pocket. Whatever you store in your pocket, your heart, that is what is going to come out. That is the dreams that you will see, because you've made your heart a pocket. And if it is only dunya inside it, then this is what you will see. Where are our children? How many children even think like that, that I want to be a sahabi? Subhanallah. And when we take pride in Islam, when we take offense to anybody even slightly disrespecting Iman and Islam, and you don't compromise, that is Iman. That is love. That is the Iman that is charged. Subhanallah al-Azim. But why, my respected brothers, why is it that our youth today, alhamdulillah, they are, I'm sure, but we have to maintain, we have to look after our iman, we have to look after our heart, we have to look after our mind and our thinking. How is it? It should not be corrupted. Allah says, لَهُمْ قُلُوبٌ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ أَعْيُنْ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانْ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا أُولَٰئِكَ كَالْأَنْعَامِ بَلْ هُمْ أَضَلْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْغَافِلُونَ. غَفْلَتْ. And just to have eyes but not to accept the truth, the message of the Quran. To have ears and not to accept what Allah and His Rasul are saying. To have a heart but he does not understand, he wants to argue. Then this person, the Quran says, وَلَكَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ. He is destined for Jahannam. مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. Many from jinn and ins will be flung and directed into Jahannam because they did not use the organs, the spiritual organs that Allah blessed them with. Now, why is it that we think like that? Just to break it up for us to understand, my respected brothers and elders, our children that study, and so that age, what we call the teens, that is very delicate. The teens is very delicate. The real difficult mission for the parents, you know, a lot of the parents say, alhamdulillah, my son is very good, this, that. I say, how old is he? He says, 8, 9. I say, all children at 8 and 9 are angels, fine. They wear pagri, they'll wear a lungi. They'll wear an ihram to the masjid. 8, 9, no problem. The true colors are when they hit teens. When they hit teens. When they save money and secretly buy a mobile phone and you don't know and you catch them and they watch something and they are doing something and they are, that is the time the challenges start. The friends, this and that, wrong people. Allah save Muslim parents. And so what happens is that their education in this country, so for an example, at a very young age we start sending them to school from the age of 5. Ab to pata nahi maa ko apne bache bojh lagte hai. You know, the child, the baby is only 3 and they want to send him to the nursery. 3. Why? What? You can't look after your 3-year-old baby? In reality, the more time the child spends with the mother, that is the best thing. That is the best thing. You don't really need so many long, long hours. I remember when we were in Africa and when we studied there, our school was very early in the morning, 8 o'clock. We were free by 12 o'clock. 8 to 12, free. Everything was done. All the subjects were taught. Afternoon, alhamdulillah, we used to go to our local madrasa. By 3:30, 4 o'clock, we were at home enjoying. Lovely life. But the timetable here is designed in such a way that we need to indoctrinate and we need to take over the new breed, the children. The children are very important, the new generation. So anyway, that is another topic. All year round, they will study maybe for 190 days and for about 7 hours in a day, and possibly, you know, for 12 years. How many? 12 years. So, ye hisab karke aap aaye, 190 days, 12 years, and 7 hours a day. It is a total of 16,000 hours. How many hours? So, 16,000 hours you are giving to secular education. So the intention is when 16,000 hours are given, my child will have a cushy life, my child will be qualified, my child will have a good job, my child will be independent, and paisa hoga uske paas. Kya hoga? Because he's qualified. So he will be qualified after going through this system to make sure that all of this dunya, basically materialism, dunya, he's captured it and he has worked so hard for how many hours? Bole na bhai? 16,000 hours. That is 190 days, 12 years, because from the age of 5 until 16, 17, just say, and then in a day about 7 hours. How many hours? 7 hours. You're studying. So for dunya, you have worked so much, 16,000 hours you gave. Now imagine the mindset. Who are your teachers? Who are teaching you? What is happening? How important it is. Alhamdulillah, when we see the masjid filled like this, you are happy. Alhamdulillah. May Allah protect our youth. May Allah protect our musallis. May Allah protect our parents. May Allah protect our community. But let's compare that to a madrasa. Same thing, 190 days. Let's look at that figure. So in a year, 190 days, they are going to a madrasa. But madrasa, they will only go for 2 hours. How many hours? 2 hours. And 5 years. How many years? 5 years. Six se shuru karte hai, at 11, 12. Say 5 years dete hai madrasa. And that is only a meager total of 1,900 hours you are giving for Jannat. Way in the madrasa, Allah's name is taught, the Quran is taught, Sunnah is taught, Wuzu is taught, the five pillars are taught. Even if you gave 2,000 hours, even if you gave 3,000 hours, Chalo, let's move around with the figures. I did it only with 5 years. Chalo, move it around. Compare that to 16,000 hours of materialism the child is only fed to me. Ye banna hai. This you have to achieve. This you have to achieve. This you have to achieve as compared to a madrasa. And the problem is compounded when parents are not religious. When parents are not religious, they are okay to say, okay, beta, you don't want to go madrasa, no problem. But you can't miss your lecture in college. So now this is the issue. So what is happening? Muslims that are growing up in this European culture, they have stopped thinking about becoming a sahabi. They have stopped thinking about becoming a sahabi. Now imagine Leicester, alhamdulillah, is a solid city in that way, alhamdulillah. We've got masjids everywhere, we've got our ulama, we've got everything, alhamdulillah. We've got a good Muslim community. But imagine of that community that has got nothing. Imagine, just go outskirts of this city and you'll see the situation is dramatically different. So you see what is happening is that our children, slowly the iman is already weak, because the only legacy, the only connection with Allah and the Rasul that they had with power and strength was in madrasa. And that madrasa is only 2 hours. And that madrasa is only 5 years or 6 years. And Allahu Akbar, as compared to your secular education. And that is what happens. The result is, the child does not respect the parents. The result is, the child does not want to pray namaz. The result is, that we don't take our deen, religion seriously. This is the result. Iman becomes very, very weak. Allahu Akbar Kabira. That is why I always say to the brothers, if you want to save your iman after leaving madrasa, then listen to the lectures given by the ulama. Otherwise, it is a total failure. What is it? A total failure. Seedhi baat. Maulana Saeed Palanpuri in Canada, when he did a bayan, Hazrat was very jalali. So in Canada, there were some people who were making movement. So Hazrat sat like this, and he says, "Bhai, main tumhara naukar lagta hoon kya? What do you think? I sit here, I am benefiting. Alhamdulillah, Allah has made me a man of knowledge. I know of Bukhari, I know this." This is Maulana Saeed Palanpuri. Don't move around and respect the knowledge that comes to you. This is not knowledge of dunya. This is not physics. This is not biology. This is not mathematics. This is not dunya. This is not Darwinism. This is not anything that is irrelevant. This is very relevant. This is Jannah that you are buying, knowledge. This will make you a true human being. This will make you alive. Your heart will pump properly. The physical heart and the spiritual heart will be connected. Connected. And so we have to, otherwise after madrasa, come and to listen to lectures so we understand what is right and what is wrong. Remember, my brothers, being born a Muslim does not mean that you're born a Jannati. Listen to this. Being born a Muslim does not mean that you're born a Jannati. You are born a Muslim, alhamdulillah. But to be a Jannati, you have to work hard. You have to strive. Nuh alayhi salam had a son whose name was Kan'an. What was his name? Kan'an. Kan'an got into bad friendship. And he started hanging around with kuffar of the time. The kuffar that were there in the time of Nuh alayhi salam, they influenced him. And Kan'an started to hang around with a group of non-Muslims that were there. He was not listening to his father. So his father warned him and said, "Beta, look, you know what? Be careful. The people that you are with are the wrong people. And Allah has decided to punish everyone that is here. And I am telling you, come in my team and sit with me in the boat, the ark." So he started mocking the father and says, "Abba, you don't know science," as people say today, you know. "I will climb the mountain that you see in front of you. Abba, can you see that mountain? Do you expect water to reach as high as the peak of that mountain? I am going to climb that mountain right on top and no water can come. And what water? We are landlocked, Abba. There's something wrong with you." And he said, "La'asim al-yawma min amrillah, beta. This is foolishness. Allah can do whatever He wants." Anyway, the flood opened up and the son started running and climbing this scene the Quran has mentioned. And he's right on top and Nuh alayhi salam is watching from his boat, the ark. And a wave comes and just puts the son down and he drowns. And he's killed. Now, being a Nabi, he thought he had some concession. So So he asked Allah, he says, Allah, you promised me that you will save my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Nuh, how dare you call your son your family? Though he was your biological son, but relationship is not just by blood. The greatest relationship is by iman. Your real relationship is what? By iman. And when death comes, there is no relationship, there is no biological relationship. If you are separated in iman and kufr, that is it, finished. Finished. You can give birth and your father was whoever he was, your mother and your children. If you don't depart with iman from this dunya, there is no relationship. The relationship cuts. And he says innahu amalun ghayru salih. Don't you know he did not do good deeds? What relationship are you talking about? That is why there is no relationship between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father. Because they did not die upon iman. And here the Quran works. Can you imagine the Nabi of the time is saying, accept Allah, worship Allah, but the heart was damaged. The boy's heart was damaged because of the wrong company. The heart was damaged. Allahu Akbar. Can you imagine Musa alayhi salam's cousin, Qarun? Musa alayhi salam's cousin is Qarun. Who is Qarun? By who's the richest man in the world today? Idris, do you know?
Minister of Treasure.
Huh?
Minister of Treasure.
Minister? No, in the world. Who is it? Huh? Bill Gates and who?
Amazon
gang. The Amazon. What is it they say? You make money with Amazon. Anyway. The Amazon gang. Well, let me tell you. The richest man in human history that topples everyone is Qarun. The richest man in human history. The Quran just gives you an explanation that the keys to his treasures were lifted and carried by a group of strong men that would get tired just holding the keys. Bodybuilders, strong people would hold his keys and they would get tired. Can you imagine the wealth he had? Musa alayhi salam was his cousin. Can you imagine? But again, Qarun's heart was damaged. Allah save us. This damaged heart the Quran talks about. And it is the damaged heart that takes a person to Jahannam. Musa alayhi salam said to him, my brother, look, okay, Allah has given you money. Give some money to the needy. He looked at Musa alayhi salam. He says, oh brother Musa, this money I got not by your God, that your God, your Allah gave me. It is my intelligence, intellect that gave me this wealth. And I'm not going to share my wealth with anybody. He became a boastful man, showing off with his wealth. Very rich man. And he refused to give. Musa alayhi salam says, give zakat to me. I'm the Nabi of the time. Distribute your wealth equally to the needy people. He said, no. Very boastful man. And said, worship Allah. He said, no. The heart was damaged. The eyes was damaged. He saw Musa, the greatest Nabi of his time. Moses, he saw him. But he was blind. He heard the message of Musa alayhi salam. He was deaf. Allah said to the earth, split open. Qarun sunk into the ground with his palaces going down, the wealth and the treasure sinking down. And Musa alayhi salam is looking at everything that is happening. And Allah gave tawfiq to quite a few people thereafter to bring iman upon Hazrat Musa alayhi salam and the Nabi of the time. This is what I'm saying, my respected brothers. Let us be thankful. Allah has not caused our hearts to be damaged. Why? Because we have iman. Brothers, make sure one thing. Never ever fail to pray your namaz. And always, even if it means 5 lines in your 24 hours, put Quran inside your heart, because the Quran is that purifier that will always keep your spiritual heart alive. You know, today we talk about COVID and oxygen and this and that. The real oxygen that we need is the Quran to keep us alive. Really, my brothers. If you don't open the Quran, that is why the fire of Jahannam cannot touch a hafiz of the Quran. How about that? A hafiz of the Quran, mashallah, there is basharat. That is why, alhamdulillah, our parents want our children to become a hafiz. The fire of Jahannam does not touch them, because they have got inside them what? The Quran, the kalam of Allah. That is amazing. Who is better than a hafiz of the Quran? Subhanallah al-Azim. And so, my respected brothers, just to conclude, Allah give us the tawfiq. Let us be proud of who we are. We are Muslims. Look after the heart. Understand. And understand like how that young man said, I wish I was a Sahabi. Why did he say that? Because he had strong iman. And our iman has to be very, very strong. Otherwise the shaitan will put this layer of napaki via sins and cover it up, and we will never understand what is right and what is wrong. There are so many people today, to explain to them about iman and Islam, they don't understand. Why? Because the same thing, they have a heart, but the heart is damaged. And the people who don't have a damaged heart, subhanallah. You know, Fir'aun had children, but the children were not from the wife Asiya. Fir'aun had other women that were there. So Fir'aun had a daughter. This is a narration of Ibn Abbas, or Hazrat Abbas radiallahu ta'ala. He says, Fir'aun had a daughter, and the daughter had a female maid, a khadima, that would look after Fir'aun's daughter. And she would comb the hair all the time and look after, and groom the daughter, basically look after her. So she was elderly, this khadima, female maid. So one day, the comb that she was combing the hair with fell to the ground. So when she picked it up, the comb, she said, Bismillah. What did she say? Bismillah. When she said Bismillah, Fir'aun's daughter heard it. And she says, Bismillah. And she said to the Khadima, is there any other god that you worship besides my father? And they used to take Fir'aun as the most supreme god. Rabbukumul A'la, supreme god. Not just god, the highest from all the gods. So she said, is there any other god besides my father? And she could not hide her iman. And she says, of course. My God is Allah, the God of Musa. Musa alayhi salam was the Nabi of the time. And she accepted the message of Musa alayhi salam. So Allah gave her hidayat. And then she went and she told the father. She says, Abba ji, you know the lady who looks after me, there's a problem. She's worshipping someone else and she takes something else as God and not you. And she said, Bismillah. And Fir'aun knew Allah, because Musa alayhi salam invited people to Allah, the Banu Israel. So Fir'aun summoned her and said, come to me. Said, tell me, is there any god that you worship besides me? So she said, yes, my God is Allah, who is also your God and who has created you. So he got very, very angry. In short, he was a very ruthless man. Razzalim tha Fir'aun. In those days, you used to have what we call a baqara. What is it? A baqara is a big pot, a cauldron, massive pot. And it's called baqara because the pot was so huge that you could fit an entire cow inside it. You could fit an entire cow inside it. They used to call it baqara. So he got that baqara, and this is how he used to punish people. And they put oil inside this pot to let it boil and boil and boil. And when it started boiling, In its intensity, Fir'aun said, you know what I'm going to do to you. So now this lady said that, I know what you're going to do, but do me one favor please, that whatever happens to us, can you please bury us with dignity and respect, our bones, put it somewhere and bury us. Fir'aun said, that I will do. But you have to see how I'm going to punish you. Now my respected brothers, when your iman is very, very strong, and when there is fire in your iman, then you can fight death, and death is not something that you fear. Death is not something that you fear because of your iman. Your iman is such at a level. That is why the Quran describes that the most powerful iman that is given is to a mujahid, those who go to jihad. What is it? They see everything, death is in front of them, but they can fight it because of the level of iman. So they don't fear death. So anyway, she says, we will become shaheed, a martyr. So she had children. This Fir'aun was such a zalim. He took the children from the mother and said, let me lift this child up. So the child was lifted up and on top of this pot, and said to this lady that, look at your children, son or girl, whatever. And he dropped the son, and immediately, that baby child died, and three of the children were burnt, and then a baby that she had. So Fir'aun took the baby, and the mother was saying, don't take my baby. And it is said that a few children have spoken at death, one of them was this child, and said to the mother, the baby said to the mother, Amma, don't fear, this is the gate to Jannah. Amma, don't fear, this is what you see, but this is the gate of Allah. Put in the mouth to give strength to the mother, because for the mother it's hard to see the baby. And the baby was thrown. All the children instantly died in that huge pot. Have you been to, in India, Ajmer? Have you been Ajmer? And you see Ajmer, they cook food. What is it? And have you seen that huge pot? Have you seen? How many people have seen that pot in Ajmer? How many? Can you raise your hands? Ajmer. How many people have been to Ajmer? I've been. It's a lovely place, mashallah. Mawlana Khaja Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah Alayhi's mazar. Wow, what a place. So there, food is given to everywhere. Huge pot. The pot is so big that people put a ladder inside and outside. And I don't know about hygiene, but they are cooking. Wallahu alam. Maybe it's a source of barakat or whatever they are cooking. Everybody eats the biryani. And anyway, they all die. And it is the end. But look at the iman. What is the result? Let me conclude the result. When it was time for Mi'raj, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taken, and he was accompanied by Jibreel Amin. When he was traveling, Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped Jibreel and said, Jibreel, I am smelling fragrance at this location that no other fragrance is like this. And so, what is this fragrance? Imagine for Huzur alayhi salam to stop. Jibreel Amin said, yes, O Nabi of Allah. She is the martyr at the hands of Fir'aun with her children, who used to comb the hair of Fir'aun's daughter. And Allah's Nabi said, tell me the entire story. And this story was narrated by Jibreel to Huzur alayhi salam. And I have narrated that to you now because we have that narration. And such an honor was given that her qabr made Huzur alayhi salam stop and ask and inquire and to inhale the fragrance. Subhanallah, my respected brothers and elders, this is the power of iman. So let us invest in our qabr. Let us invest in the life that Allah has given us. The breathing that we have now, the life that we have now, be proud of Islam. Anyone says anything against Islam, one thing, don't argue, don't say nothing, give that person talaq. How many talaq should you give him? How many? 1 million. Not three. Three is for some decent people. How much should you give him talaq? 1 million talaq. What am I saying by 1 million talaq? That person is a shaitan. He wants to buy for you a ticket to Jahannam with him, as the Quran says, وَلَكَدْ ذَرَأْنَا لِجَهَنَّمْ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ. Many people are directed to Jahannam. Jinn and ins. Shaitan is jinn. Why? Because of that damaged heart. And we cannot afford to have that damaged heart. And our heart is very strong. So when you know you are praying Quran, when you know you are regular in your salah, then mashallah, and when you know that you are doing zikr, fikr and dua, and you are eating halal and understand, and trying to make amal on the sunnah, then your heart is not damaged. Then your heart is not damaged. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta tawwabur rahim, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Allah Kareem, so many people have come, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant every one of us sitting here afiyat. Allah, make sure that our progeny, our children, until the day of Qiyamah, are all in the state of Iman. Allah, are all in the state of Iman. Allah, grant us Jannatul Firdaus, that we enter in Jannah with our families. Allah, like how when we go back at home, we have the comfort to see the wife, the mother, the father, the children, and our family members. Allah, give us that comfort also in Alam-e-Barzakh. Allah, that comfort in Alam-e-Jannat. Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Allah, open the doors of Iman and Islam. Allah, there are so many people who are non-Muslims. They haven't got Iman. Allah, give us the tawfiq that we give them da'wat. Allah, that we give them da'wat. And Allah, you open their hearts. And Ya Allah, make Europe Darul Islam. Allah, make this world Darul Iman. Allah, forgive all our sins, major and minor. Allah, be pleased with us. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa azwajihi wa dhurriyatihi wa ahli bayti ajma'in. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.